Guys, have you ever been so desperate that you actually stopped to ask directions? I know we're not supposed to do that as men. It's just taboo. It's something we're not supposed to do at all. But sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures. I remember my wife and I being on the way to a college student event. It's actually before we were married. Got lost in the town that we were in. And hopelessly lost. We were trying to find the way to our friend's house where we were going to spend the night and then be able to go to the conference. And we were so lost, we stopped off of the interstate, and I pulled up. This was before the days of, you know, everyone having cell phones. And so we're just looking for some type of phone that I could use. It was a pay phone. Pulled up to a convenience store. Have you ever had one of those moments when you get out and you think, oh man, I'm not in Kansas anymore? It just seemed like I was in a bad part of town, and everybody there was looking at me in a pretty threatening way. So I made the phone call real fast. It was hard to get help from our friends to know where we were supposed to go because I didn't even know where we were. And somehow that night we were able to get back on the highway and be able to find their place. But that was a desperate time. I needed direction to be able to find my way. Have you ever felt that way spiritually? Feel like you just don't know exactly what to do next, what God would have you to do, and you feel rather desperate about that, kind of lost, and it seems like maybe you're even in a place that seems a bit threatening? I've had some of those times in my life. What I've found is when those types of times come along, I have a tendency to write out prayers to God in my journal. Sometimes those prayers express my desperation, my desire to have God lead me and show me the way, what He wants me to do. When I read Psalm 25, that's the impression I get. This is like a page out of David's journal. He is desperate for God's leadership and direction. He knows that there is danger if he makes the wrong turn or makes the wrong decision, that things could go terribly south. And so he expresses this prayer, asking God for directions. Psalm 25 is where we're going to be this morning, and I want to read this psalm for you. I know we read it together earlier in the service, but I'd like for you to follow along in your Bibles. Or if you don't have a Bible in front of you, I want you to just listen. Listen to the words of this prayer of David. Listen to what he says. And see if you don't identify with him in the kinds of things that he expresses to God. Psalm 25, starting in verse 1. Could we stand as we read God's word together? I know you just got comfortable. I don't want you to get too comfortable. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. Here's what David says. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none of those who wait for you will be ashamed. Those who deal treacherously without cause will be ashamed. Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way that he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. Look upon my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with violent hatred. Guard my soul and deliver me. Do not let me be ashamed, for I take refuge in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Lord Jesus, speak to us from this portion of your word and teach us, Lord. Teach us your way. Show us your direction and your paths. And Lord, I pray that this morning you would help us to understand your direction for our lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Preaching on a psalm like this always feels a little strange for me. A psalm is a song. A song like we would hear or sing today, and you don't often hear sermons preached about songs. And in fact, in some ways, it seems to do an injustice to the song itself. Like, how many times have you ever thought about, I'm going to preach a sermon about the song, I Will Always Love You? Or I'm going to preach a sermon about the song about when we go to heaven. We don't normally preach sermons about songs. But preachers, like me, have a tendency to take whatever it is and dissect it into 10 or 12 different parts and maybe have 3 points and a poem to go with it. In fact, in preparing for this sermon today, I discovered a sermon that I wrote and preached years ago about this particular psalm with 10 steps to knowing God's will for your life. Seems kind of crazy now. No, we don't often preach about a song. It seems better if we can read the song and hear it and hear what was in the heart of the one who wrote it and try to catch his desire, get a glimpse of his spirit and be able to see what it is that we can take away from it. So the sermon today is going to be pointless. Well, not so much. But the point I want to make is what David was trying to get at, asking God to show him his way, asking for directions. You know, I came across a song as I was preparing for this. It's an old rock and roll song by the band Styx. That'll take you back, won't it? There you go. The title of the song was Show Me the Way. And as I read it, I thought, this sounds familiar. Here are these words. Every night I say a prayer in the hope that there's a heaven. And every day I'm more confused as the saints turn into sinners. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay. And I feel this empty place inside, so afraid I've lost my faith. Show me the way. Show me the way. Take me tonight to the river and wash my illusions away. Show me the way. Give me the strength and the courage to believe I'll get there someday. Show me the way. You hear the desperation in his voice? The disappointment with things that he had once looked to try to show him the way? I hear some of that same desperation in David's voice when I read this song, when I read this psalm of praise. This is actually a very interesting psalm just because of the way that it's written. It's actually written in what's called an acrostic form. It's written in ABC order. That means that every stanza, not marked by verses, but every stanza of this psalm it begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, starting with Aleph and going all the way to Tau. Now, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, so we should actually have 22 verses in the psalm, but it doesn't follow that way. But as David wrote it, he wrote it in a way that those that would hear it would understand, oh, this follows a pattern. It's in ABC order. Now, there's some debate about why he did that. Some think that he might have done that to help with memorization. Sometimes, if you have a key, it's easier to remember a passage of Scripture, isn't it, Max? Because Max has done that with his Scripture memory. But I also have found, It's a lot easier to memorize Scripture when it's a song, because it employs both sides of your brain. And so oftentimes, when you can't remember the words of a Scripture, you could probably put it to music and remember it more easily. Maybe that's what was going on here as well. Either way, David writes it in a particular pattern. There's about 9 other psalms in this book of Psalms written in ABC order as acrostic psalms. But it kind of reminds me of this, that oftentimes when we come to God and we're asking for direction for our lives, we usually want something that's kind of in ABC order. God, just show me the directions, kind of like MapQuest. Here's point A, and I'm going to go to point B, and then I'm going to go to point C. Or maybe we want God to act like a GPS. Turn left at the next corner. Merge right onto the highway. But God seldom leads us that way. In fact, what David begins to express in this psalm is that the way that God leads us is by us getting to know Him and His ways. The closer we draw to Him and the more we understand who He is, the better off we'll be when it comes to understanding what He wants us to do. So let's look at this psalm. David begins this psalm by crying out to God. He says in the first verse, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." As if David is saying, "Lord, I've reached a place where I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what's next. Lord, you're the only one that I could lift up my soul to. O God, in you, I trust." And then he indicates that there's a big danger here. And the danger is in going the wrong direction. He says, "Lord, do not let me be ashamed. Do not let my enemies exult over me." He says it again a little bit later in the psalm, that those who hate him with a violent hatred because they want him to fall. They want him to take the wrong turn. They want him to go the wrong direction. And what David is praying is, "God, don't let me do anything that would cause shame to me or embarrassment to you." It's so important when we seek God's direction that we understand that there are spiritual forces that would like to trip us up and get us to go the wrong way. And they may make those choices look very enticing, very tempting to us. And as we seek God's direction, we want to seek not only what He wants us to do, but His wisdom, His truth, because ultimately that will guide us in making the right decision, instead of making a decision that might cause harm to us or dishonor to God. And then he moves forward and he says this in verse 4. "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, and for you I wait all the day." You get the understanding that David is not praying so much for a specific direction like we do often, asking God, "Show me what you want me to do about this particular thing, or this particular decision, or this crossroad that I'm at." Instead, David prays that God would help him to understand him, his ways, his truth. Because ultimately, that's what God wants us to understand. That's what he wants us to know, is more about him. This is really not as much about finding a direction or making a decision as it is understanding who God is and knowing Him better. Discovering what God wants us to do personally begins with getting to know God personally, His nature, His truth, and His work. And the better we know God and the closer we walk with Him, the better we'll understand what He wants us to do in those specific decisions. Now, how does that happen? Well, how do you get to know anyone that you love? How do you get to know anyone that you're friends with? You spend time with them. You walk with them. You spend time understanding what they're saying. And so what David is saying is, "Lord, lead me in your ways. Help me to know your truth." And the way that we're going to get to know God that way is by spending time with Him in His Word and in prayer, walking with God daily and listening as He leads us along the path. Getting to know God is the first step in really understanding what God wants us to do. His first admonition to us is to love Him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. And then we'll be able to understand and discern what He wants us to do. David also understands that as he's praying, there are some roadblocks along the way. Those roadblocks are sin. And just like sin is a hindrance to us in our relationship with God, it also becomes a barrier for us in understanding His direction for our lives. Immediately as David is pouring out his heart to God, asking for God's help, asking for God's leadership and His direction, he understands that there's things in his life that don't belong. As he recognizes the righteousness of God, he sees how unrighteous he is. As he sees the holiness of God, he understands how unholy he is. And he understands that that can cause him to turn the wrong way, make the wrong decision, go the wrong direction. So David begins to pray, "Remember, O Lord, your compassion and your loving kindnesses, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgression. According to your loving kindness, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord." As David begins to understand more about God's nature, he understands it's the very nature of God that convicted him of his own sin that also leads him to forgiveness of sin. Have you ever been where David is? You come to God and you say, "God, I really need your help. I need for you to lead me. I need to understand what you want me to do." But immediately as you're in the process of asking that, you're aware that you have no right to ask that. Even as you come before God, there are things in your life that need to be confessed, turned away from, forgiven, left behind. That's where David is. A roadblock along the way. Our own sin. The things that we've done that are wrong. And as David experiences God's grace, His forgiveness, the loving kindness that he talks about of the Lord, then his relationship with God is made right. And then he begins to understand some things. Notice what he says. Because God forgives, he says in verse 8, "Therefore, He does instruct sinners in the way. He does lead the humble in justice. He does teach the humble His way." And in fact, what David says is, as we experience God's grace, His forgiveness, and as we grow in our understanding of Him, He will even reveal secrets to us about His nature, about who He is, and ultimately, about what He wants us to do. God shows us the way. We begin to realize that it's far more important to know God than to know God's will. And it's only as we get to know God that we'll ever be able to know His will. That's what we learn from David. We learn that David is asking for directions. But it's really all about getting to know the one who has the directions for our lives. Before our son Jeremiah went to Africa, we had a breakfast for him the morning we were going to take him to the airport. And at that breakfast, my wife and I gave him two verses of Scripture. We said, "These are the two verses that we want you to take with you as you go to Africa." And they happen to be Psalm 24, 4 and 5. In fact, it's the reason I chose this psalm, as Pastor Chuck had asked me which psalm I wanted to preach about. You know the story of Jeremiah, how he went to Africa, and you know how he gave his life for the Lord there, doing work, reaching an unreached people group with the gospel. After Jeremiah died, the missionaries there gathered all of his things and got them ready for us as we went over in July of that year to go and collect them. And they said that what they found in all of his things were these verses of Scripture. They were everywhere. In his Bible, in his room, this one, taped to the bathroom mirror. Who would see it every day? It says, "Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by your truth and teach me. For you are the God who saves me. All day long, I will put my hope in you." It's a funny thing as a parent. You never know exactly when you tell one of your children something, what's going to stick. You know that feeling? You know, sometimes it sticks and sometimes it doesn't. For some reason, this stuck. We were very proud of what Jeremiah was doing. God was doing a great work through him. And that work continues. And in fact, I would ask you to pray for me. And our pastor, Charles Lord, will be going back to Mozambique September the 13th through the 28th of this year. He'll be there for 15 days, continuing to teach pastors who continue to carry out the ministry of reaching those unreached people groups in that area where Jeremiah was. But the truth is, the most significant thing that was happening in Jeremiah's life was he was getting to know God. He was experiencing God every day. We were watching the transformation take place as God was working in his life and through his life. It was exciting to see. When Jeremiah went to Africa, I knew that he was looking for direction in his life. I made the joke with him that he would need this verse of Scripture because sometimes the roads and paths in Africa are very difficult to find, difficult to follow. But I knew the larger issue for him was what he was going to do with his life. The night before Jeremiah died, he was talking with the missionary's son who was there in the house. And they had a conversation about what was next, what was going to happen after that. And this is what Andrew Dinah told me. He said, "Jeremiah said, you know, I don't know exactly what God wants me to do with my life. All I know is that I want to glorify Him with the rest of my life." He didn't know he had less than a day. You see, it really doesn't matter. That is the bottom line for any of us. What we want to do is to glorify God, whether we have a day left or whether we have years left. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get to know God and we walk with Him and we seek His direction and we follow His ways, His paths, and His truth. Now, I've made kind of a stab at this thing. And in fact, I'm going to put it up on the PowerPoint because I thought, well, the only way to really, for me to express what this is about is to try to do what David did. So I've written out my own version of this psalm in ABC order because I'm not as good as Dr. Smith with Hebrew. Maybe later on today, maybe that's something you'd like to try to do. But let me read for you what I think David is saying in this Psalm 25 in order of ABC. "All I can do is turn to you, O God, because I trust in you. Carry me through this crisis, Lord. Don't let me fall or do anything that would cause even a hint of dishonor to you. For I long to know you, O God. Guide me in your ways. Help me follow you in all I do. I know you're a God of mercy and love, justifying sinners like me by your grace. Kindness and goodness come from you. Lead me in your paths, O Lord. Make me to know what is right. Never let me forget that your ways are loving and faithful. Only forgive me when I have strayed from your way. Place my feet back on the path you have chosen for me. Quiet my heart to listen to your voice. Return me to that close walk with you. Sin dogs my path, but your grace is greater still. Take my troubles away and save me until all those who seek to destroy me are gone. Victory is found in you, Lord. Whoever takes refuge in you finds hope. Examine me for integrity and uprightness, God. You are the one who knows my heart. Zion needs you now, Lord. Redeem us from all our troubles." This particular psalm and this summer is very timely for me. I've been wrestling with a personal decision in my life, and It's been a process that's gone on for several months now. And as I've wrestled with that decision, I've sought God's direction, asking almost on a daily basis, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Help me to understand what this decision is. Help me to know the right thing to do. It seems that throughout this year, the answer has not been forthcoming. And in fact, I've waited and waited and waited. In the process of putting this sermon together, getting ready for today, God has given me a peace about that decision. And in fact, as I've spent more and more time with God over the last several months and just seeking to know Him better, it's that understanding of His nature and His ways and the way that God works in our lives that's made that decision clear. A couple of weeks ago, I made the decision. And I have great peace about it. Peace because I know that God has led me. Not in some dramatic fashion, not with a GPS signal or a telegram or an email or a text message. He gave me a quiet sense of what He wanted me to do. And after I made the decision, it was like one of those movie flashbacks. Things came together like boom, 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 boom. All the ways that God had been speaking to me, circumstances, books, scriptures, conversations, all of it made sense as soon as I made the decision. My prayer is that as we ask for God's direction, we'll get to know Him better, understand His ways and His truth, and in so doing that God will then help us to know what He wants us to do as we walk with Him every day.